All right, so here we are. Sounding good. Mic check is wonderful. Coming through. Perfect. All right, just making sure, you know, we got all systems in place this morning here in Pasadena. So it's always good for me to get a chance to come out, not only to in and around Southern Cal, seeing all the Laker Nation, Laker love, meeting, you know, all of you, the number of people. It's always cool because you have to appreciate those days, those times, those memories, those moments, knowing that, you know, the things that you do and the things that you aspire to do, you're not going to do it alone. You're not going to do it by yourself. You're not going to be the only person that's going to be able to get you to where you're trying to go, land, accomplish. So it's always going to be a team effort. And so it's good getting a chance to see everyone. Pasadena out here, now this is, I think we just finished our seventh year of doing some of my leadership programs out here. And I normally come out in the summer in particular for a week or two and put on some clinics and camps that are more life lesson centered, character development, financial literacy, football, baseball, basketball, soccer. It's just a variety of sports that we try and put on as part of the AC Green Foundation. And I say that because it's been something that from being over at South Pass Middle School to the high school and holding, you know, these programs there for these number of years that allowed me to work with, you know, South Pasadena Educational Foundation, which is called SPIF out here for those that do know it. And it's been a great collaboration and partnership. But it's also allowed me to get a chance to see and touch and be a part of a lot of your lives and your kids' lives and grandkids' lives and loved ones' lives just through the various services that we do and that we are a part of and that we make happen. And so Pasadena always has a sweet spot and a loving spot for me. Plus, it was a place that, you know, Mr. High Sox himself, Mr. Michael Cooper, comes out of. So we all got to love Coop. And so I heard many a times in stories, in a very proud voice, high-pitched at that, of where Mr. Cooper was from and was raised at and run around. And so it's really, really cool. So I'm excited about being here, getting a chance to hang out with you guys for a little bit. You know, I'm going to do something that I love doing, and because I want to hear a little bit from you. So I'm going to take a couple questions as I get ready to go into a few things that I actually want to say and end up with a certain direction here at the end of the program. So who has a question you want to ask me at this particular moment? I know you've probably been sitting on something for a while, so let me just get a chance to answer a couple questions as I open up. So, with that being said, over here on your left and to my right, which you guys for some reason think I can't see you guys out there, but when you have to play sports and you know sports, you see everybody in the room, you see movement, you see things that do go on. So I've been seeing this hand and this gentleman standing up there, but for some reason you guys think I don't see him, and I'm just baffled right now why it is, but it's okay. Now I think we finally connected. Sir, please, what is your particular question you have for me this morning? Okay, so for those that did not hear, for the sake of the tape, the question is, do I really miss playing basketball with the Lakers and basketball in general? Do I really, really miss that? Because he's a longtime Laker fan, Laker lover, Laker Nation, bleeds purple and gold, and really, really wants to know, do I really, really miss playing basketball? How many retired people in this room do I have right now that you are actually retired from what you had a career at doing, however long that career might have been? Let me see those hands really high for the sake of everybody else in this room. Thank you for participating. How many of you people right now, honestly, all my retirees, do you miss going back to work and doing what you were doing for those 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 plus years in your career path? And the hands in this room, for the sake of those on our wonderful tape, there's not one hand in the air out of about 50 that was up. So the answer to your question is no. I'm going to side with the audience and the majority of the votes in this room this morning and say, no, I don't miss basketball, but I miss the relationships that basketball brought to me. I miss the covenant relationships and the men and the ladies and the Laker family and those that, throughout Laker Nation, that I had a chance and had the privilege of being introduced to through the sport of basketball. Because the Bible has taught me that, you know, a man's gift opens up doors and opens up room for him, introduces him to kings and queens and a lot of high, it's distinguished people. People who have genuine, kind hearts that live right next door to you, that look just like you, talk like you, act like you, just want to be and are just your friend because there's no difference between the two of you. Person at the common everyday store that you go to and you spend your time going into that convenience store and you get a chance to just connect on that particular sport, job, career that you happen to play wearing a uniform. And so because of that path of basketball, it allowed me to meet such people in a generation that always looked up and watched on a TV or vicariously sat with their parent or grandparent and just gravitated toward that TV and saw the enthusiasm and vicariously seeing the parent get all englued and just entrenched inside of what was going on, from Magic to Kareem to Kobe to Shaq, to Bill Sharman, to Jerry West, to Elgin Baylor, to Wilt Chamberlain days, and them just like, they're just staring because they don't fully understand, being in elementary school, what's really going on the screen and how that's making their adult family member feel. But they see the passion that's coming out of them, and it's through that particular sport that the gift that God has really given and allowed me to participate in. So I don't miss the sport. I don't miss running up and down. I don't miss taking airplane flights. I don't miss doing all those wonderful kind of things. But those relationships, I do miss. But the great thing is, because of how technology is today, it's just a phone call, a tweet, a text, you're still right there. And that's the thing about it. We haven't lost the relationships overall. So that's been the cool thing, but it's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that question. I really am, you know. So I am definitely still, okay, bleed purple and gold. All right, that's not even a question. Laker Nation, Laker love. What can you say? Because you do remember all of my young people in the room. You remember those that helped you along the way. You remember those that took time to spend time with you, to impart, to show you how to be better at something, show you how to be good at something when you really didn't know exactly how to do it yourself. Being a rookie coming into the Laker family, I had to defer and ask guys like a Michael Cooper, Superman Kurt Rambis, Magic Johnson, you know, a James Worthy, a Byron Scott, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he would speak to me. Pat Riley. I had to ask guys who had been there, who were there, how to be successful at being on this team and being in this league. Because what do I have to compare it to? What do I have to use as a basis point? I can go back and refer to what I did in college, but that wasn't going to be good enough in the pros. So you got to remember those steps and those journeys along your path and say thank you to those that helped you along the way. So, great question. All right, who has another question? No, sit down, not you. Who else has another question? Yes, sir. After him, over here. Go ahead. Yes, sir. During the time, what kept me pure amongst all that temptation? Look, the great thing is, and I only repeat the question so everybody heard and you understand where I'm going to come from on my answer. I'm going to save that answer. I'm going to save that one, okay? Just let me hear this one first, all right, because there's something I want to say in reference to that. Yes, sir, you were going to say something. So basically, how would we play a person like James Harden and his skill set and his ability today and his ability to draw fouls? Sure. No, it's a great question. It is. James is a unique player. Okay, first and foremost, he is. So he has a skill set that allows him to create angles. And he's been able to take a hit, which is called, you know, a bump, or some people call it a foul. And still be able to find a way to get a basket if, in a worst case, get to the free throw line. And so you recognize that, and you give a person like that, you give them credit. You give them their props, you know, because it takes a talent to be able to do that. Night in and night out, consistently get to the free throw line 9, 10, 11 times a night, okay? I love that aspect, but you got to also remember, every generation produces someone that is very unique, special, talented in what they do. I grew up playing against guys, obviously those that remember the Showtime era coming up in basketball. You had some special individuals who had a knack and a talent to do something that was extraordinary, which maybe only one of three, four or five players could do at that time in the game of basketball. Larry Bird's, the Michael Jordan's, the Dominique Wilkins of those time periods, for instance, as just a small example. But I could go down a long list of guys. James, you basically would just make him beat you from the outside, which he loves doing. As far as the foul, because that's really your question, how the contact aspect. You find a person's their tendencies, and you make them go to a position that they don't really want to go to. And it's a lot more technical than that, but I don't have, and I won't take the time to really get deep down inside of it. But just sit back and appreciate, admire poetry in motion, okay? He's doing his thing out there, having fun, and his team normally wins a lot of games. And hopefully they'll be able to get a little bit further in the playoffs, like he wish, and I would love to see them get a little bit further sometimes in the playoffs, but it's a lot of fun. So I really enjoy what he's doing, especially a local guy being from here. That's my guy, man. I love what he does out there. All right, I'm going to take one more, then I'm going to go back to your question that was over there. Yes, sir. Well, first of all, the question, just so everybody heard, you feel that superstar players today have the ability to get a coach fired, first of all?
Overnight.
Overnight. Okay. That's, I don't know, maybe some of you feel that same way in the room, but I'm going to go with his question just so I can answer his question. Not that I agree with everything, okay, from that disposition. But I would say, answering the question regarding Pat Riley and just how could he manage superstar players, athletes, all being on one team and being able to still lead them without the threat, the concern of falling casualty to a personality like that, or, you know, a coup, you know, that would go and try and get you removed. Coach, success, meaning winning, has a way of breeding a culture that covers a lot of ills. Okay? If you find a way to win, be successful in your career path, whatever that might be, you tolerate, accept a lot of inconveniences, a lot of differences. That if you're losing, or your culture is not developed, sustainable, those little tendencies become more magnified and more petty. Okay, now all of a sudden you can't stand this, or this guy does that, or I hate when we have to do this, or why do we got to do it at this time? You're winning, you got a nice run going, you're getting results, all of a sudden everything is cool, everything is okay. Capiche? And it's one of those, honestly, it's one of those kind of things. It really is. Coach Riley had the personality, and does as a person, that just was a leader, a driver, okay? We as players, we gravitated toward that. We accepted that to the point where we began to be the culture that was developed from Coach Riley, Jerry Buss, Jerry West, was one of success, holding a high standard, accountability. Those kind of things allowed us to be and perform at a certain level that we didn't have time for a lot of the other stuff. And so he didn't have anything necessarily to worry about, and because we policed ourselves. He taught us, he helped us, he directed us on how to, you know, take care of first things first. And that's basically get out there, do your job, hold one another accountable, put the team first, not yourself, and find a way to get the victory and move on to the next city, the next game, and do the same thing and just repeat what you did. Step one, step two, step three. That was basically how it sort of worked in Laker country, Laker land. We got away from that for a number of years. Okay, society has gotten away from family spending time together, families eating together, parents knowing what their kids are doing all the time, kids wanting the parents to know what they're doing all the time, the accountability coming home, coming home before the street lights. Well, that sort of went out the door. Don't say this or that at school. Don't talk back to your adults. Don't say this to your teachers. All those things, a lot of changes have happened, okay? And so please understand and remember that our future players, they come from society. They come from the communities, okay, into the league, and we can't expect just the league to make the changes for those individuals that come out of a dysfunctional, maybe, background, what people like to label as dysfunctional or disconnected. I spend my days working inside of elementary schools, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. People try and label them in that manner, in that way, which I personally totally disagree with. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, and I won't talk about, but it's about making a change. It's about having and being a difference maker. And that's what God has allowed us all to do. So I'm going now to your question, okay? And the idea of how to and being, how do you, in the midst of all the vocation in which we all have traveled, and the question was more directed to me, is especially in basketball, in the world of sports, and how do you keep your focus? How do you keep pure? You know, how do you keep in line? How do you keep the straight and narrow? And, you know, it's really, it's not a one statement answer I can give, but it's a few thoughts along the way. And the thoughts fall more along this line that when you, as I talked about the culture, and I talked about winning, how it produces, you know, wins covers a lot of sins in the world of sports. Wins cover over a lot of sins in the world of sports. All right? If you fall as deep in love with God and the things of God as you possibly can, that will become the only thing that really, really matters to you. And that allows you not to get sidetracked, not to get snake bit, not to just take a diversion over into the dark side. Because you're really focused, your aim is really at that basket or at that particular goal, that you don't really see a lot of the other stuff that's really coming at you. It doesn't mean it's not trying to come, but you don't really see, or it doesn't really impact you. It doesn't make you perfect. That's not the question. But it doesn't affect you. You know, sometimes things can be thrown at you and it just bounces off you. You know, you can throw something at this wall and it's just going to bounce off and roll down to the floor. That's how it is spiritually. When you get in line and in sync into your particular question, the purity aspect and the pure side of just loving Jesus, honestly, guys, so much would just bounce right off you that you had no idea it's even coming at you. And secondly, it really comes down to your supporting cast. It has a lot to do with that. We are men gathered this morning, okay? But one of the strongest factors has ever played a role in my particular life is the very fact that it was because of men that God placed in and around my life. I talked about some great teams that I've had. I talked about, you know, obviously this Showtime era. You know, I talk about the ability to have a chance to play with the likes of the second generation superstars that we had in the Laker family from that post-Showtime, and that's the Shaq and Kobe era. Okay, and winning my last championship with them and having a chance to be on that team and try and help bring that identity and that culture back into that new 2000 swing, the new millennial, and try and show them what it's like to have and try and be a real champion and a Laker champion in the Laker family and the Laker system. Not the easiest thing when someone hasn't been there, but not impossible if you know who you are and whose you are. But there's no greater team that I've ever been a part than the spiritual family and the spiritual team of God and the men of God that God brings a part of your life. Because it took, and it will, and it still takes to this very day, being transparent, being connected, spiritually connected with men, being very vulnerable and being open enough. If you want to grow up in God, you have to be able to sacrifice and go down to Him. And that's normally down on a knee and start praying and humble yourself so you can hear what it is that He wants you to say, just as I had to do this morning before I left coming here. The spiritual team, it has been my ultimate, most important team. And it's not a team of 12, 15 guys like I'm so used to, but I can count them on one hand. The closest one to me, actually, I just spoke to yesterday. He took his family to the Texan Colts game last night over in Houston. And his college roommate, high school buddy, and best friends ever since, but it's a guy that's just spiritually accountable too. Speak multiple times a week and just have a real man-to-man kind of conversation about what's going on in life itself. And so I say those things because we're gathering here today even as men, okay? But humility is only going to be the thing that's going to allow the wisdom of God and the power of God to take full authority in and over your life. Because that's what's happened. I only speak from experience. I need it every day. Every day. There's too many things that come at me that some of what I even know and some I don't still don't know. But it's the fact that you got to spend that quality time and have to have that time with God. If you really want to go somewhere with Him, you want to see changes You want to see a culture be redefined, not labeled, but be a difference maker in a culture, be a difference maker on a team, be a difference maker in a community, be a difference maker at your workplace, be a difference maker at your church, be a difference maker as a leader in your school, in your class. Then it's that spending time. It's that quality time. To humble yourself and open that Bible and be willing to read it. Not reach for the smartphone first in the morning. Reach for that Bible. Now, I know your smartphone has a Bible on it. So I'm going to give you a little break. If you do reach for the smartphone, don't check the messages. Don't go on the internet other than trying to, you understand my point and my purpose. See, I was a guy that grew up small town, Portland, Oregon, all those wonderful kind of things, okay? Very religious in attendance, but not something that was, I had no relationship with God. And that didn't honestly happen, even though my parents were Southern people, made sure we went to church. But it just wasn't one of those things that was real for me. It wasn't something I really understood, nor I desired to try and connect with. Until I got out of high school, and at high school, graduating at 17 years old, All-American basketball player, player of the year in my state. We just won the state championship. Parents bought me a brand new car. All these wonderful kind of things that were going on in my own individual life, guys. Always being interviewed in the paper, always being on TV, being asked questions about what am I going to do next, how was it to win the state championship, all these people wanting to know what was going on, what was up. And I had fun. That was my little world. That was really, really cool. But what the cameras didn't know and what the reporters didn't know, they just, honestly, guys, Maranatha team here, they didn't know how insecure I was as a player. Okay, they just knew I was an All-American player, that I can jump, I can run, I can dunk, I can shoot. They knew I was going to the number one ranked school in the country the next month or the next 2 months down the road because I announced that's what school I was going to go to, which was Oregon State University. And so they knew those things, but they didn't know me as a person. They didn't know I was that shy guy. I was that guy, go to a room, go to a party or something like that in school, and I'm going to go hide in the corner. But I'm that same guy that's all American. I'm all everything publicly. But I was totally insecure as a young man, as a teenager. That was who I was. And so graduated from high school, I remember going to a place 3 hours away. And I was there visiting one of our Bible study, FCA Young Life teacher. And I was there with my 10 closest friends, the guy I mentioned yesterday who I spoke to on the phone, as well as some other really close friends of mine. And I just remembered being out there and hearing this pastor. We were just hanging out. We were there visiting this teacher just having fun reconnecting with him because he had left our high school to go take another job and like 4 or 5 months prior. And so we all wanted to go out and hang out with him. But I remember as he said, hey, you guys are going to come out. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to go water skiing and picnicking and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that sounds fun. That sounds cool. So all 10 of us go out there. And I just remember that on that Friday, Saturday, hanging out, having fun, and Sunday comes. And I remember the pastor giving a sermon on our way heading back to our hometown, which was back in Portland, on that wonderful 3-hour little trek. And I remember the sermon was called, Do You Want to Go to Heaven or You Want to Go to Hell? Was the name of the sermon titled. That's exactly what I said. Super great. All right. But I said, okay, cool. I know the answer to this one. Here's a test I know the answer to. All right. And I knew exactly what the situation was because I knew I was going to be that one who was going to be going to heaven. I knew I was going to be going to heaven because not that I was super cool, not because I was an All-American and all this, that, and the other, Not because like my parents had just bought me this brand new car, which was nice. 1972 Lincoln Mark IV. My whole team used to fit in the front seat, guys. This car was this. No, I'm not kidding you. They know about this car. Y'all don't know about this car. They know that my whole team, all my boys used to get in the front seat. Wasn't no, that's how we used to go around the game to game. This car was that wide. I'm not kidding you guys, man. And when y'all leave here, get on the phone and look up Google. Just Google it. Google it. I'm telling you right now. Lincoln, Mark IV, 1972. Wide. Okay? That's all I can say. I'm going to leave it at that. But all those things were going on. All those things were happening. All the good things were going on. And as I heard this sermon, it wasn't about all those things. I thought I was a-shoo-in for heaven because I knew I was better than all my boys who were standing there with me. I knew it compared to the guys that I hung around and spent the most time with, that I was the one who was going to be going to heaven because I looked up and down. Each and every, we all knew what each of us did. We knew what time it was with each and every one of us. And so I'm thinking in my mind with these 10 guys, I'm looking at it and I'm like, I know what he does? Nah. I know what he, oh no. Definitely not him. And I just went down the whole list of processing all this. And I got to the guy, Lee, who I was talking to yesterday, and he was right next to me at that particular time. And I said, he might have a chance. He might have a chance. And he laughs to this day about that because he's like, man, I could have swore you weren't going nowhere anyway. You can imagine, yes, out of your own mind. And so I say all those things to say it wasn't, I realized after this particular sermon, okay, honestly, that as many sermons as I heard prior, as many times I heard a pastor as I went to church with my folks and my two brothers and my sister, and it was always a sermon, a message. Thank God for them because it planted seeds inside of me, but I didn't hear it that those days as I heard it that this particular day, which was in August the 2nd. And I heard that there had to be a relationship with Jesus. It wasn't about comparing myself to some guy. It wasn't about comparing myself to my boys. It wasn't about any of that. It was about having that personal relationship. Do I know Jesus? Is he the Lord over my life? Is he the head coach in my life? That's what the question of the day was. At 17 years old, as a teenager, that I had to ask and have an answer to. And I realized he was not the head coach. And I realized I did not have a relationship with him. But I also realized I wanted that relationship that I did not have. And that was me. That was the beginning of me saying yes to Jesus, yes to God. Lord, I want to do it your way. Whatever your plans, rules, diagram plays you want to put up, I want to follow your playbook, your game plan. And that was the beginning of it. But because I did honestly get a chance to say, and I did say yes, and became very real and transparent and humbled in that moment, realizing what I didn't have and who I really wasn't, I realized that if I wanted to have a life with God, I had to say yes to him. And that yes has produced the things that we sort of talked about in my Q&A period of time. The yes allowed me to be able to say the things that we had a chance to talk about. I went from that very insecure teenager, not knowing who I was, being very quiet and shy, reluctant to speak in public, to going on into college and actually having a degree in speech communications, who's made a life and a long-term living at talking in public and being a public speaker and a broadcaster like I even do right now today for our Laker team, studio and play-by-play and color commentary. but also to be able to see and be able to speak and sit back and hear what God's voice is really trying to say, in the sense that you take time in that morning, open up that Bible, and just be still. Don't go with all the complaints of the day, but just listen and ask God, what is it that you want me to do today, sir? And then go out and try and carry out that game plan. And it's been 30, almost 40 years of doing that. See, life didn't end because that yes, when is God going to be my head coach or not at 17 years old? Life didn't end. The old insecure life ended, but the journey just began. The journey of, what is it that you want me to do, God? Because I have no idea what it is. I don't know. I'm not driving this car anymore. Life didn't end when I retired playing basketball, as your first question was today. Basketball, sports, was a small piece of my life, a journey in my life, a period in my life, just like school is right now in your guys' lives and some of the other ones that I see in this room. And we all been through that period where it's just a little small portion, but there's more to the journey and to the story. But it's only that power of God that comes through that personal relationship with Him that allows you to see the purpose fulfilled that He has for you and has for us. And so I stand here today, not reflecting so much on the championships that I've lost or the confetti coming down in the forum or the confetti coming down after a championship in the Staples Center. But I stand here asking you, will you allow God to be your head coach today? Will you get back onto His game plan and His plan for your life? Because I want you to be that spiritual champion and see God's confetti coming down on a daily basis. Not the good by and by. I'm talking about on a daily basis. But it starts with a personal relationship. So guys, I want to say a prayer if I could with you. Okay? I'd like to pray with you as we all are here. Men gather together. Nothing greater than God has probably done is when He start bringing men together for one purpose, one unity. And only championships come out of that. Only good things are birthed from that. Men taking their rightful position and taking points in places of leadership and where they are, where He's placed you. Looking to Him and going forward in His power. Bow your head with me for one moment, please. Father God, I just thank You, Father, for who and what You are, sir, this very day. We thank You for Your kindness. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for every person that got up this morning and sacrificed their time to get here, be here, who put on this particular event. Father, I thank You for this being God, a loving Father. Father, I thank You for just what You've done, spoken, helped, directed me just individually from the elementary school days of Your grace and mercy, keeping me out of my own times of stupidity, the college, the high school days, teenage years. Thank You for Your mercies, just kept me from all the wrongdoings that I'd done. But thank You for also revealing that I needed You and giving me the power to say yes to You. So, man, I ask You this very day, at your table, I just want you to just pray under your breath, but I want the transparency of all of it just to be real. If you want and you need God to be that head coach in your own life, that life that you have and you alone, not about anybody else, it takes the same steps that I processed. One, acknowledging that, you know what, I'm not with you. I don't have that relationship. Repenting of our sin, being real with them, asking for his forgiveness, but also then asking him to be your head coach. I'm going to give you a moment to do that yourself. Father, I thank you for the men. I thank you for these young men that you've brought here this very, very morning. And guys, everybody looking up here now, if you would, you're at the table, and there's a packet, white envelope there that has